Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Okay, I'm here today with Abby Fichtner, who is quite famous for the blog Hacker Chick and is also a Microsoft evangelist for startups here in the Boston area. Abby, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well, and I'm glad to have you on yet another podcast. We met, I believe it was about a year and a half ago at CodeMash.
Right, yep.
And at the time, you were not working for Microsoft, but you were very involved with your Hacker Chick blog and with Agile programming, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I was doing Agile coaching, and I was about to venture off and start my own startup and met you and thought, wow, that's a really cool job that you have.
And it was about how much later that you had yourself a job as an evangelist at Microsoft?
About 2 or 3 months later.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, that was very interesting, because if you'd asked me on the day that I arrived at CodeMash if I could imagine myself working at Microsoft, never would have guessed that in a million years.
Yeah, there are a lot of people working at Microsoft who feel the same way, but there you go. Well, that was an extraordinary experience, because it was very clear that this was something that you loved to do and that you were already very involved with the community.
Right, absolutely. And I love startups. That's where I actually got my start in my career and really missed them and wanted to get back to startups.
How long have you been working in software development?
So professionally, I've been in development for 15 years, but I actually got my start around the age of 8.
The age of 8?
Yes.
Now, how did that come about?
So I grew up in a family of geeks. And when I was about 8 years old, my parents told me that if I made the honor roll, I could get an Atari, as in an Atari game machine. And so I made the honor roll. And my dad, who had actually started programming in the 60s, decided that an Atari game machine was not good enough for his daughter, and came home with an Atari 800, which was a computer. And this was in 1980, and very few people had home computers in those days.
Were you programming the Atari 800?
Yeah. So actually, our father-daughter bonding experiences were that we would go to the store, get an Atari magazine that had machine language, so like completely not human readable. And we would sit together at the computer and we'd type in the code, the machine language, and create games. And so that's how I got my start in programming.
That's great. So you were actually typing in machine code into an Atari 800.
But what's funny is I never actually considered that that would be a career path for me. I actually at one point remember clearly saying that you couldn't pay me enough to program for a job. I had it in my idea that success meant being a manager. And so when I went to college, I went to get a degree in management, until I was a junior in college and a professor said to me, okay, what are you going to manage? He said, well, you have to actually like have some kind of a skill. And I did some research, and I came up with the idea that I wanted to be a management consultant. So I landed a job with a management consulting firm right out of college. I was very excited. And I thought about the job and what I actually liked about the job. And the weird thing was, they didn't actually have me consulting managers right out of college. I don't know why, but they actually had me programming. And I loved it. I thought it was really awesome. So I went out and I bought a book on C, and I read the first 6 chapters of it. And I thought, this is pretty cool. And I went and applied to a job that happened to be a startup, and they needed a C++ developer. I didn't actually know what C++ was, but here I was learning C.
Because so far all you had learned was 6 chapters of C.
Exactly. So I thought, well, it's C plus a little, right?
There you go.
There you go. So I went into the interview and I was perfectly transparent about what I knew. And I was very excited that I had read the first 6 chapters of my Teach Yourself C book. And somehow I managed to get the job.
So that was your first job programming?
That was my first real job programming. And that was also my first real experience with startups, which was night and day difference. And I loved it. I loved the passion and the creativity and the energy at the startups. And I think most of all, I just loved being able to create things that nobody had ever created before. I thought that was really awesome.
When I met you, it was my impression that one of your fields of expertise was agile programming and also test-driven development. How did you get into that, and how long were you doing that?
So I actually got into agile development when I was with my last startup. It was a startup called Lightning Cast. We'd actually managed to get some customers, and the VP of engineering came up to us and said, guys, you got to stop hacking. We have customers now, we have to create a product that's scalable and that's going to perform. And so we started looking at development practices that could help us. And that's when we started looking at things like the Rational Unified process was really big at the time. Also at Agile, Kent Beck had just come out with the XP books at the time. And I got really interested in this. I said, this is really cool. By implementing a few development practices, you can really make a big difference at how fast you can go, at how much quality you can obtain in your software. And I sort of start off, went on a tangent of going out and helping teams and organizations with how they can develop software better through agile coaching, with a strong emphasis on things like development practices and lean practices.
And how have you been able to bring that into what you're doing now as an evangelist for startups?
Yeah. So what happened was I started helping teams with how they develop software better. And I just thought this was really amazing what a difference you could make. And I started blogging about it, which was really cool. I started the HackerChick blog. I didn't know if anybody was going to start reading what I was doing because there's about a billion blogs out there. But people started finding it and they were liking it. And not just kind of any people, but famous people like famous people in software development. So like Jim McCarthy, who had been really influential to me for his book on dynamics of software development, actually found my blog and commented on it. And so I started getting really encouraged till somebody said to me, hey, you know, you should present on this. And I said, why would I want to do that?
Right. So that led you to doing presentations on Agile as well.
Right. Yeah. So I tried. I submitted to one of the Agile conferences and they accepted me. And I went there and I thought it was just kind of a checkbox that I'd have to just do so that I said I had done. And instead, I found out that I really loved it. I loved the energy there. I loved the passion that the people had there and that I was just able to contribute to that and kind of get that energy back from the audience.
So tell me about how all of this fits in with your new role at Microsoft as an evangelist for startups.
Yeah. So what was really amazing was I realized I really enjoyed giving back to the community. I was really focused on the Agile software development community. I was presenting, I was blogging, I was doing things with the local Boston groups, and I really missed working for startups. So I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity here. Microsoft basically said, hey, do you want to do the same thing that you've been doing for the Agile community? But A, we'll pay you for it. I'd been doing it all in my spare time, like using my vacation and own money to go to conferences. And you'll do it for startups. So I got to get back into the startup community. So it was really just like all the planets aligned.
That's great. What's the day-to-day experience of being a Microsoft evangelist like? How do you spend your time?
You know, it's always different, which is what I kind of love about the job. It's almost like a startup in itself because it's a really new role with Microsoft. Part of my job is, and this is where the evangelism comes in, is that I get to evangelize startups that are doing cool things with Microsoft. So that might be videoing them. It might be selecting them as Microsoft Startup of the Day. Another part of what I do is just really largely being like a community manager and helping the startup community. And there isn't really any known recipe to that. It's just going out there, getting involved in the community, just like I was doing before, and figuring out how I can best help them. So it might be sitting down with a startup and mentoring them around technology or around lean startup, which is basically agile principles taken to the next level and applied to startups. It might be working at a community level with great organizations like Startup Weekend or Lean Startup Circle. I'm actually one of the co-organizers for Lean Startup Circle Boston. So making sure that there's great content to help startups and a really just vibrant community here in Boston for startups. And then, of course, just letting startups know about what resources are available to them through Microsoft. So we have this great program called BizSpark. I don't know if you know of it, but it basically, we give all of our software at no cost, no obligation to startups, just to help them be successful at building out the next generation of software. Other things I can do for startups are, I look at what kind of the hot technologies are for us. So like right now it's Windows Phone or Azure. And if I see startups that are doing that, I can often get them a lot of help around that to be successful.
And when you say you can get them help around that, what kind of help can you get them?
You know, just a big part of my job is sort of finding out what resources are available through any groups. And so, for example, since Windows Phone and Azure are hot topics for Microsoft right now, I can find out about, we're doing things like Windows Phone Ignition Days at NERD, which is our New England Research and Development Center. And I can get startups to those. I recently was able to get some startups into some hands-on Azure training that normally would only be available to our bigger companies.
So for a startup, these are great opportunities. And BizSpark is an amazing program. As I understand it, is it a 2-year?
Yeah, it's actually 3 years. You get all access to all of our software. There's development licenses, there's production licenses, there's Azure Hours, which is our cloud, there's support, and we're constantly looking for new ways that we can just expand the program and help connect startups with organizations that can help them be successful.
It sounds like you've got a lot of things cooking at the same time, and it must keep you fairly busy. Have you been working long hours for Microsoft?
Yeah, I pretty much feel like I'm back on startup hours.
My experience of Microsoft is that one of the key benefits is flex hours. Pick any 80 hours you like.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you can sleep for a couple hours and then do a little bit more.
Are you coding these days, or are you coaching more than you're actually writing code?
I am coding a little bit and trying to make an effort to code more.
And what about your blog? How would people find you and find information about what you're doing?
Hackerchick.com.
So all your Microsoft work is through hackerchick.com now?
No, actually. So Hackerchick blog, I just continue to talk about what I've always been talking about, which is how do we develop better software and how do we develop better startups? I also just try to use Microsoft's channels and community channels to put content up wherever it makes the most sense. So I've got a blog account on bizspark.com. I have one on NerdSite, which is microsoftcambridge.com. I blog on Ignition Showcase, which is my team's blog. I'm sort of all over the place.
How many startups would you say there are in the Boston area overall? Are we talking dozens or hundreds or?
Hundreds, maybe thousands.
It's a thriving community of startups.
Yeah, it is wonderful. I'm pretty new to the Boston startup community, but as I understand, it has really grown in the past 3 years.
And are those folks talking to each other? Are they meeting together and exchanging ideas and information?
Yeah, and that is part of what has just really grown wonderfully in the last few years in the Boston areas. There's a really vibrant community. Nerd has actually been a really wonderful part of that. I don't know if you've been to, we have our New England Research and Development Center, which we affectionately call Nerd. And since we opened our doors there, we've hosted over 500 community events.
Now, it's an extraordinary place. That's on Memorial Drive in Cambridge, and it's a beautiful building, and there's quite a lot of community activity happening there. And I believe it's also co-housed with the Research and Development Group.
Right. Yeah, we have Microsoft Research there. We actually have product development going on there as well. So that's been a great part of helping not just even the startup community, but the student community and just the tech community in general. And there's also other wonderful organizations in the Boston community. There's Dark Boston for the 20-somethings that are doing startups. There's the Lean Startup Circle that I mentioned. There's Greenhorn Connect is a great site if you ever want to figure out what startup activities are going on in Boston, greenhornconnect.com.
So there's quite a lot of resources and more coming as you are more and more involved with the startup community.
Absolutely.
Well, I can't thank you enough for stopping by and talking to me about what you're doing. It sounds like amazing and fascinating work. I take a lot of pride in having encouraged you to apply to Microsoft. I think that things are going really well. It sounds great.
Thanks so much.